guys seem like you're about half throttle in the 9:30 this morning. Hey, let's pick it up a little bit. Good morning, everybody. All right. Very good. Welcome to all of you that are in the building, and welcome to all of you who are tuning in online. I would love to just pause and pray. Is that all right, everybody? Sometimes around here in the pre-service flow, we bump into some complications and technical difficulties, and some things happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, can I brag about our serve team here for just a moment? Our serve team is awesome. And here's what I know they always try to do. They try to protect me from having distractions all the time. So like, it'll be next week and we'll be in staff meeting and they'll be like, Pastor, during the message, the lobby caught fire. The fire department came. They put it out. The sheetrockers came, the painters and the floor people. I know that you had no idea, but man, like, it was a pretty big deal. And I'm like, what? Like, so they are protecting me all the time. That might be a minor exaggeration. I'm just telling you, that's what our serve team does. But sometimes, some of the challenges that we might face to prepare for you do get to me, and certain things bother me more than other things. How many of you guys are like, yeah, right? Certain things bother you more than other things. And so I feel a tad frazzled this morning. Just a little bit. And it's no fault of any person. It's just certain things that I concern myself with that maybe I shouldn't. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you in to pray with me. Is that okay? I'm going to ask God, hey, just calm me down. Come on. Yeah? Y'all good with that? All right, good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And the fact is, we trust you. Lord, we just pray right now that you, Lord God, have your way in us. Here's what we want to do. God, we want to do everything in our power to push off every distraction from the week, every distraction from this day. God, every concern that we have with what might be upcoming or the busyness that is in front of us. But God, we just want to offer ourselves to you. Father, we just simply open up our hearts, our ears, and our eyes. God, we want to receive. We want to hear. We want to see what you're trying to do in us. So Father, we just ask and pray in Jesus' name, you have your way in us. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, so we are in part number 3 of a sermon series that we've been calling ROI, Return on Investment. Now, if you're a guest and you're like, oh, here we go, they're about to take up an offering, but at ease, relax, that's not what's happening today. But we are talking about how to get the very best returns on our investment, and there's more things to invest than just money. Amen, everybody. But listen, speaking of money, I am going to make an announcement, because every year we do something that we call an impact offering. And here's what I want to do. I just want to get you prepared for it. So we will be collecting what we call an impact offering on December the 12th. So that's about a month away. And I just want to kind of talk to you about what that is briefly, and then I'm going to get into today's content. So every single year, our church has decided that on one Sunday of the year, instead of giving a portion of what is collected away, so we do that every single week of the year. We're a tithing church. We give at about 12%, just automatically, we give it away all the time. It constantly, serving people, buying meals, missionaries across seas, outreaches in the community, outreaches in the nation, like we're constantly giving. But on one weekend a year, we just decide to give 100% away, like all of it. So we structure and we budget for it, and then we just make a push to our church. And here's what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask for 100% participation. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to give. That's between you and God. That's not on me. And there's no pressure. There's no pressure. But I would love, I mean, if you just chose a dollar, you know what? I'm going to put a dollar in the impact offering. It will make a difference. Amen. Y'all remember the story about the lady that gave just a little tiny bit? And Jesus saw it as the greatest gift given. So don't concern yourself with the amount. Just prayerfully say, God, what would you have me do? And what we're going to do that Sunday is we're just going to give it all away. We're just going to go find people and bless them and make a difference in their lives. Does that sound good, everybody? So this announcement's being made today so that you have time to think about it, pray about it. You can talk about it as a family so that when the day comes, I don't want you to be caught off guard. Like, well, I didn't know this was coming. And I want you guys to have already in your heart decided what you would give. You can choose as a family, and we'll go make a difference in people's lives. Does that sound good, everybody? All right. So this series that we're in, ROI, Return on Investment, the crux, like the idea of it is this, that anytime we have a limitation on something like money, how many of you guys have endless amounts of money, right? None of us. How many of you guys have endless amounts of time? None of us. How many of us have endless amounts of talent? None of us. Those are things that have limitations to them. There's only so much. And anytime we find ourselves looking at a resource that has a limitation, then it's our responsibility to then become stewards of those resources. And this is what the big idea of our series is, that if I only have so much time, how can I make the most of that time? If I only have so much money, how can I make the most of that money? Because we want to get a good return on our investment. Would you agree? Now, in the world and in the life of church and ministry, what we want to do is we actually want to figure out ways to invest those resources so that we get eternal rewards on those investments. Amen. Amen. All three of us are in agreement. What I want to do today, I want to take you to the topic that I perhaps struggle with the most. Are you ready? Today, praise the Lord. I'm going to digress because I'm ahead of myself in my notes. This is the verse right here. Here, I'm going to show you. Let me make it happen. That's what we're going to talk about today, your time. I probably struggle with this one the most. And then I'm going to digress because I got ahead of myself. I'm going to back up to this verse because this is the verse that months ago, I read this verse and it really, really stood out to me in a powerful way. And I did not see it in the way of money. I saw it in the way of my time. And it reads that the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever they get. I don't steward it, I spend it. I blow it, take it in, and I put it out. And so when it comes to this topic right here of your time, this is the one, Church on the Rock, that Pastor Josh probably struggles with the most. Because there are certain things about me that I value greatly. And one of the things that I value really, really greatly is efficiency. I like to be efficient. So I don't want to waste time with my steps, with my energy. Like, I like to get stuff done. I like to build my life in rhythms of consistency. So I value that a lot. So I like to create just things that happen. So in a perfect world for me, I like every Monday to look exactly like Monday. Just the same thing every week, every time, at the same time. I just want it to happen and I want it to be efficient. And so same, Tuesdays, that is the perfect world for me. And so as God has been dealing with my heart about this stewardship concept, the thing that I struggled with, this topic today is where the series was born. As I begin to dig into this, that you know what? The fact of the matter is that I often mismanage my time. And the reason that I mismanage it is because I just put way too much in there. Anybody feel like me? Amen. Amen. So the Bible tells us this in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for everything. And this is one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I am going to give us this one right here just for a few moments. And there's a season for every activity under the sun or under the heavens. Now, can we talk about this just for a minute? Can we talk about this? Because in the writer of Ecclesiastes, he continues. He goes on to say that there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, there's a time to build, there's a time to tear down. Like, he just kind of gets really, really detailed about these different times. But I want to pause for a moment, because I want to talk for just a couple of moments before we get into the specific topic of time, and I want to talk about seasons. Because he said not only is there a time, there's a season. And for just a couple of minutes, if you can imagine, we're in the parentheses of my writing right now, okay? But the parentheses could be exactly what sets some of you free. Because the truth of the matter is, there are different seasons of life, aren't there? There is the season, let's just say, for example, the season of when your children are very, very small. And that's a different type of a season than when they are high schoolers. It's a different type of a season when they begin to go out on their own. It's a different type of a season when they become have families of their own, homes of their own, children of their own, seasons of life. We also could recognize it just in a regular calendar year that there are different seasons of life, right? Like, we're heading into holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And how many of you guys know that in that season, my time is utilized differently than, say, summer? Are you with me? Some of us understand this even like in our places of work or business, maybe in the pace of your life. So you might have a particular job. I've got a friend, he works for UPS, and there is a particular season in which he is increasingly busy. The demand on his time is far greater in that season than it is in different seasons of the year. In fact, they're so serious that he's not allowed to take vacation time between this date and this date because they call it peak season. Like, we're busy. We got a lot going on, and we need all hands on deck. We need everybody to lean in. You would understand this in your family. Maybe you have like birthday season. It's like everybody in your family has a birthday, you know, in June. And it's like, my goodness, we have to figure out how to buy all the gifts, go to all the parties, do all the little gatherings, right? Seasons. And so before we get into the specific topic of your time, here's what I want you to do is I just want you to take some time throughout this week or whatever in your reflection of today's message and consider your life and its seasons. Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to bring you this message about time and being a wise steward with your time, and then when you find yourself in peak season, you're walking around with shame and guilt. Maybe the season calls for more at that time, but I still need to understand that as a steward because I need to prepare for it, I need to live it, and then I need to, like, for lack of a better term, detox from it and get back into a healthy rhythm. Is that making sense, everybody? So times and seasons. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to dig in and I want to talk a little bit about enemies of our time. Just a few of them. These are ones that resonate with me deeply. And so I just brought them to you. So I like to say this often, like, this is not exclusive. It's not like the only things, you know, ever. Just a couple of examples, okay? And the first one is social pressure. How many of you guys feel the social pressure to be busy, right? Like, our society celebrates busyness more than anything else. In fact, it could be one of the worst addictions that we see in America, and the problem is that people don't call it out to try to help you for it, they celebrate you for it. Let me give you a quick example, and I'm not trying to pick on any particular company, but it's just the one example that I found, because I probably could have found examples from every company. But in the 90s, in the mid-90s, Cadillac had a certain advertising agenda, like a plan. And what Cadillac would say to you in the mid-90s is the best way to travel. And their commercials, corny as they are, watched a few of them on YouTube. It was probably awesome in 1994, Miss Diane, but it wasn't awesome for me in 2021. But in the little commercials, they would show people golfing. They showed people playing cricket. How many of you guys play cricket? Come on. Anyway, if you do, this is not a shot. I just never met a person in my whole life that plays cricket. And so they showed people yachting. So they would drive their Cadillac to the yacht. They showed people doing all these leisure activities. And the big sell of buying a Cadillac is that you could enjoy it in your leisure. Now, the reason that Cadillac put that marketing plan together is because in the 90s and prior decades, people saw leisure time as a mark of wealth and success. And so the more leisure time that you had, clearly, the more successful that you were and the more money you must have had. But I just want to fast forward from 94 to 2014. Cadillac had a Super Bowl commercial. And in the Super Bowl commercial, you see this fast-paced, high-achieving businessman, and he's having a direct interaction with the camera. And what he's doing throughout this commercial is he begins to describe how efficient he is and how busy he is, how much he gets done. He even starts to poke fun at people that take vacations. He pokes some fun, honestly, at other countries that have different cultures around their workflow and take extended times off. And he began to talk about how foolish that was. And while they're relaxing, he's getting more done. And he gets in his Cadillac to get him from his fancy, amazing home where his children were on iPads and his wife was busy doing things, and he's got to hustle off to the office to get some things done. And in a 20-year span, we have a completely different marketing approach because society says now that the busier you are, the more successful you are. The more that you have to do, the more successful you must be. And I'm just gonna, can I be transparent this morning? I buy into this way more than I should. Just way more than I should. So you remember years ago, like, you remember the good old days when you would say, "How you doing?" And somebody would say, "Good." You remember them days? Good. I'm doing great. How are you? What do they say every time you ask them today?
Busy.
They're busy. They're so busy. They're just so busy. Sorry I didn't call. I've just been busy. Sorry, Mom. I know that you gave birth to me and raised me and disciplined me and cared for me and bought me all those gifts, but I only have 30 minutes for you on my calendar in the whole month of March. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're busy. We're so busy, and I have bought into this way more than I should, so I'm going to preach to me and hope that it helps you, because in my own mind, I find gratification. I feel important when the calendar's full. I'm going to be really honest with you. I like the pace to go fast. I like to have a little bit more on me than I actually think I can hold, because I feel like it stretches me and makes me a little bit better and makes, I'm gonna be more efficient today than I was yesterday. And I just sort of get into this mindset. And then the scripture says, but the fool just spends everything, all that they have. There's nothing in the reserve tank. And so oftentimes my best energy is spent in the wrong places, on the wrong people, at the wrong time. And the problem is, people cheer for it. Way to go. Ooh, man, look at you go. So, an enemy of time is social pressure. Another enemy of our time, I think, is selfish ambition. Come on now, I'm going to stand on our toes for a minute. We want it all. All of it. This is not enough. I need a little bit more. Like, how much money would make you happy? Just a little bit more than you currently have. Am I right? Yeah. Let me give you a really silly example. And forgive me for being such a country boy. That's just who I am. But like, let me just if I could just pick any vehicle to drive around, any vehicle, at all. Like, Josh, just you. What do you want? What do you want? I'd say, oh, okay, all right. I want a white Ford F-150, four door. Come on, all my GM people are upset. Four doors. I want the FX4 package. I want it leveled out perfectly. I don't like XLT. Fine. With it. I just need some, like, power, like, I'm old school. Power windows are great. That's all the features I need. Leveled out. 35-inch mud terrains underneath that thing. I'm like, dark tint the windows. I'm ready to roll. Let's go. All right. Do you want to know what I drive? I drive a white Ford F-150. Four doors, it's FX4 package, it's got dark tinted windows, it's XLT, it's leveled out, and it's got 35s underneath it. But it's old. And I would like, you see where I'm going with this? Because if I would allow myself, I could be discontented, because I just want the best, I want it all. My selfish ambition would drive me to more and more and more and more. I remember when I used to be satisfied to kill a nice buck in a year and, like, take the picture and hold his horn. Woo, look at that. Now I just want to kill 12 of them. You know what I'm saying? More and more and more. Watch what the Bible says. Watch this. Just as death and destruction are never satisfied. What? So human desire, listen to the words of God, are never satisfied. I like these golf clubs, but man, that new one. This car is good, but boy, I like that touch screen. Okay, whatever it is, you with me, everybody? If we're not careful, if we don't throttle ambition, it could just carry us off course. All right, last one is this. This one really popped for me. This is my own thinking. Is spiritual deficiency is an enemy of my time. Spiritual deficiency. All right, so let's just real talk for a second, okay? Can we just be real? All of us in the room, all of us in this room that follow Christ Jesus, here's what that makes us, okay? Christians, not perfect. Okay, and so here's what I've discovered in my life walking with Jesus is that I'm always being drawn by carnality. Satan's always trying to get me. All time. And I have moments where like I just feel like I'm rocking it. Like, man, like me and Jesus are like on speed dial. It is like I feel goosebumps all the time. I feel spiritual. I feel the momentum in my spirit. And then there are seasons where I feel like I'm dry, like I'm trying to pray, but then all of a sudden, you know, like 6 minutes later, I realize I'm just staring at the floor because my mind is thinking and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. Like, are you there? Yeah, like, okay, right. And so what I've recognized is that when I'm in a season of a spiritual deficiency, whatever that might look like to you, maybe it's a little slump, maybe you've just been making poor choices, maybe I'm using my time inappropriately, and what happens is that a spiritual deficiency will cause me to waste more of my time, because if I lean into my flesh, I will pursue more things that aren't good stewardship of my time. Instead of leaning into the source in which can maximize my time, and that is the heart of God, because I can do more if I rest in Him than I can do in my most efficient, most consistent, most driven ambition that I could ever muster on my own. And so I think that some examples of some enemies of our time are the social pressure that everybody applauds. Way to go, man. Good for you. Yeah, man, I know you haven't seen your kid in a month, but you're killing it at work, right? Selfish ambition that sometimes it's like, well, fine, I won't see my kid for a month. I need to get promoted. Sometimes those kind of things just, they get in there, and we got to learn to temper that. And then a spiritual deficiency. Man, if I start to slip, it's easier to slip. And then if I'm not careful, all of a sudden I've created a deficiency because of this enemy of my time. But let's remedy it, yeah? You guys ready? I just want to give us some things that I think can be helpful to us. Here we go. Let's get practical. So we're going to talk about stewarding our time. So we know what takes time, the enemies of it. Let's steward it. First one is this. Oh, sorry. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. One of my favorite verses. Watch this. Making the best use of our time. Like, let's do it. Let's just do it. Like, maximize the time. Make the best use of our time. Why? Because the days are evil and deception is a thing. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is this. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to reflect. Every once in a while, we need to pause. Let me say it like this. Let's slow down. Let's create time of reflection. Because again, if we buy into the enemies of time, then there's never space to really reflect. Again, I'm really just trying to be myself and be transparent, is that oftentimes my drive, that I wish I could turn it off sometimes. Like, I wish it wasn't there sometimes, because it's like the momentum of that flywheel is so fast that it's hard for me to slow down this inner drive that I have, no matter what it is that I'm aiming at. Like, I'm just driven to achieve. I'm goal-oriented. I need to achieve. I need to win. And so if I buy into that natural inclination, if I buy into the enemies of time, then there's never going to be time for me to actually slow down and reflect. And so the result of that is that I miss moments. I miss moments. So, like, it could be like this incredible moment with my family that's like, man, this, like she's only going to be 8 once. But I'm already motivated to, like, what's the next goal? And I got to climb that next hill. And I hope this is connecting with some people, because this is just who I am. And then particularly, and a lot of us, like, our workflow is like this, but particularly in what I do, so this is my occupation, right? And so what I tend to do, so I know that a lot of people are in November, but I've been in January. I wrote today's message weeks ago. I'm always ahead of the count. I have to be. Because if I don't prepare for you, then I will fail you. And so for me, I live in the future. And a lot of you, you get it because your business is like that or your life or whatever. It's like you always have to stay ahead of the curve. So for me to seize an opportunity, I have to be prepared for it, right? And so while most people are trying to enjoy Thanksgiving, I'm already thinking about 2022 and what's the calendar look like and what's the schedule. All right, and if we're doing this, I have to stage this backward. And then I fall into a mindset where I'll miss moments because I never slow down to reflect. So this is something I have to intentionally think about. Throttle back, Hersey. Enjoy this moment. This is good. Relax. Like, be here in this moment. Don't be here in body, but you have already checked out in your mind. Let's look at some scripture to reinforce. The Bible tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. Like that's not a good idea. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man, and I pointed this out on purpose, who looks intently. So this is what we want to do. We want to reflect and take an intentional look inside. But if we're not applying God's word, we're like a person who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself, and he goes away and at once forgets what he even looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, and this is what I'm trying to bring us to. It's like, let's get Christ-centered. Like, the reflection should be answering that question. Is my life and my time Christ-centered? And the only way that I can be Christ-centered is to be in his word, a.k.a. the Bible. Amen. Okay, the Holy Bible. So, if I will take the time to reflect, all right, and look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, that I'm more than a hearer that forgets what I'm doing, but I'm the person who actually acts on it, and what happens? That's where the blessing is. Are you with me? So I need to slow down and reflect. So I'm encouraging all of us, if this is you, like if I'm preaching to you as strongly as I'm preaching to me, then here's what we need to do. We need to schedule time for reflection. I need to evaluate, am I actually stewarding my time well or not? Okay, yeah, you good? All right, let's move on. The second thing, I'm going to give you three. This is number two. The second thing is this, that I'm going to reset. So after I reflect, probably some things need to change. Even if you're doing it really good, I'll bet you can improve. That's just my theory about life holistically. It's like, yeah, I know it was a grand slam, but I could have put it in the upper deck. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me. So no matter what you find in reflection, chances are it can be better. And this word right here, I'm going to credit my wife for just I don't know. It's somewhere between yesterday and when I was two. We had this conversation. I don't remember how long ago it was. We had this conversation, and I was experiencing a little like this rapid sort of pace of ministry and the way that our church was growing and all these things. Anyway, I'd sort of hit this like a little bit of a wall, and I was experiencing some burnout, and I was struggling, quite honestly. I was struggling. I was having a little bit of some health stuff as a result of it. I just wasn't really doing good, and embarrassingly, I had to go to the team and say, like, I got to, like, call an emergency timeout. I got to get away for a few days, you know, whatever. And so, anyway, I remember just taking some time off, and my it was the wisdom of my wife that gave me the freedom that I needed to sustain over the long haul, because I'm in this for the long game, everybody. Like, I hope I get to do this a long time. Come on. Like, I want y'all to, like, be like, dude, you're too old. Come on. Get, like, that's, yeah. So here I am in this little off time, and so Lauren, she says to me, she's like, listen, you can't just take a break and then go back and do what you were doing. Like, it doesn't make any sense, because if that's all you do in this time is just take a break and then you go right back to the exact same routine and pattern and schedule, whatever, that you were having, you're going to end up here again. And here's what she said. You need a reset. Amen. It's like, you got to, like, change stuff. And maybe I'm just not smart, but I was like, oh,
I think you're onto something right here. Like, you know, I don't know why, but I needed her to give me that wisdom. And so I had to kind of rebuild how I do. And so as a result, quite frankly, as a result of that, here's what I recognized are seasons. I found that I have annual rhythms. So there are certain times where I have to lean in. And yes, it is stressful. And yes, it is busy. And yes, the weight I carry can be sometimes heavy. But that's seasonal. And then I had to recognize there are points and places where it's wise for me to rest there. And I've also got team around me that they pointed out. Like, hey, like you need, like, one thing I love about the staff of Church on the Rock is like, I don't have to motivate anybody. Nobody needs motivating on our team. Nobody. What we have to do all the time is like ask each other, like, hey, when you going on vacation? Like, when's the last time you had some days off? Well, I don't know. Well, we love you. Get out of here. Go to the beach or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so what we have to do is when we find the problems, that's a poor stewardship time model, then I got to reset some things. Some changes have to be made. Maybe I need to recognize my seasons. Maybe I need to recognize that, like, this is just bad stewardship altogether, and I got to rework it. I hope you're with me. I'm closing. I'm getting closer right here. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. This is Paul. I love his attitude. Like, I'm not there. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all figured out, but I focus on this one thing. I forget the past. So when you get into your reflection, in order to reset, listen to me carefully, Jesus gave you grace, give yourself some. Amen. So some of you are going to be like, oh man, I blew it with my kids. They're, you know, they're 26 and 32. I just told them, no, you didn't. You're still a parent. All right? Forget all that from today forward, all right, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget the past, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. And then I press on to reach the end of the race. In other words, like, I got to go the distance. So I can't just serve Jesus passionately for a year. I can't just have a good work ethic that, like, sustains me in this job. Like, I need something that's going to stand the test of time. I want to go all the way to the end of the race, and I want to receive that heavenly prize for which God is calling. Amen. Amen. All right. Number three. Here we go. Number three. How can I steward my time? I'm going to, what was my first one? I'm going to reflect. I'm going to reset. Here we go. Ready for it? And then I'm going to repeat. All right. Now, for some of you, you're gonna find out, like, I'm doing pretty good. Like, this is good. I've you know, maybe you're just better at it. Maybe you've already been through enough seasons of life that you've kind of started to figure this stuff out a little bit. And you're gonna look and be like, yeah, man, like, this is pretty good. Yeah, tweak here, tweak there. All right, good. Listen, here's what you're gonna do. Repeat. Just do what you do. It works. Stay on track. But some of us, the rest of us, are trying to be like you because you're awesome. And so here's what I know. I just know this about me. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to reflect, okay? I'm going to have to reset. And then in time, I'm going to have to repeat the process. All right, time to reflect. Time to reset. All right, got to repeat, got to repeat, got to repeat. I just got to go back. Listen to me, we got to stay after it. Because of the enemies of our time, we have to be prudent and stewards of our time, because society is going to pull more and the enemy's going to deceive more. And there's just always something that's coming back. So I'm going to repeat, I'm going to repeat, I'm going to repeat, I'm going to repeat. Man, I got to reflect again. All right, I got to reset, I got to tweak, turn. All right, this isn't healthy. This wasn't good. Just do some review. What did this last section of my life look like? All right, well, there were some wins and some losses. How can I avoid those losses? All right, final verse, and then I'm going to give us a verse to, well, I got two more. Let us not become weary. Sometimes I say what I'm thinking. Let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, at the right time is when we'll get the harvest if we don't give up. So let's steward that time. But Pastor, I've really been trying to pray, and I'm really trying to lean into God, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, don't stop, because at the right time, you're going to receive the harvest that he has for you. Oh, I keep blowing it. Gosh, I can't even stand to look at myself in the mirror because I keep letting my ambition get the best of me, and I have to keep reflecting and trying to reset, and I thought this would work, and it didn't fail. Hey, don't stop. Just repeat that process. Come on, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Why? Because there's a time coming. We're going to be like, look at this. Look at this. You ever been, I'm going to close right here. I think I can move. Yeah, good. I'm going to close right here. All right. You ever gone to the beach? We live on the coast. You ever been there? there's a thing that I like to say about the beach, okay? I'll just use myself as an example. If I go to the beach and I stay at the beach long enough, I will transform over time. And I don't really have to do anything but be there. So my pigment is going to change. My hair actually will lighten up if enough sunlight consistently hits it, and I let it grow long enough to do that. I don't typically do that. I'll change, and I don't have to work for it. Come on, some of y'all are super spiritualists, know where I'm going. I just have to go get in the presence of the sun. There's this thing that happens in the followers of Jesus that sometimes we're like trying to tackle that thing that we want to see change in our lives. And good, I think you should. I think you should be aggressive to grow in Christ Jesus. But there's this thing that happens where transformation just sort of happens over time, and I don't even have to work for it. All I have to do is be in the presence of the sun. And here's what tends to happen if we stay faithful and we don't give up. Here's what happens is we go down this journey with Jesus, and then we get to this point where we like, it's like all of a sudden we're like, well, my goodness, look at me now. I don't get mad like I used to. I don't use the words that I used to. I don't do the things that I used to. Look at what I do now. Like I was never generous before, but look, right? Whatever it is, just be in the presence of the sun, you'll change. You don't even have to work for it. It's like he just gives you that stuff because that's what happens in his presence. Amen. Here's where we're closing, because I'm going to get to a point for all of us. Here we go. The Bible says that in the time of my favor, it's the Lord speaking, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, helped you. Watch this. And I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day of salvation. So there's two people here that I'm talking to. All right, and the first person is those of us that walk with Jesus right now. Like, I'm a Christian and I follow Christ Jesus. I live according to the truth of his word. Okay? All right, good. Guess what? Now's the time for us to focus on being good stewards of our time. Right now's the time. But then there's another person where the whole time I've been talking, something has been happening to you on the inside. Like, something's going on in there and you can't even explain it. Let me tell you, it's because today's the day of salvation. And so I want to invite all of us to make a decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray two times. If you'll just be patient with me, I'm going to pray two times. And the first prayer is going to be for those of us in the room that are walking with Jesus, the Christians in this room. Some of us need this prayer even more than others. All right, so I'm going to pray for us, and here's my prayer, that we would become better stewards of our time, and I want you to agree with that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for us, Lord, that we would be the kinds of people, Lord Jesus, that would really pay attention. Father, that we would care enough to have some reflection, God, to reset some things in our lives and continually repeat that process. Help us, Lord God, to be the kinds of followers of Christ that make the best use of our time. That we would steward our time well, that we wouldn't miss moments. God, that we would enjoy every season. We would know, God, when to lean in, and we would know when to rest. Help us, Father, I pray. Lord, to be the kind of people that recognize the enemies of our time and push back against them. Fight against them. Lord God, to do the practices and the principles in which you declare are best for us. Help us, Father, we pray, to be good stewards of our time. Amen. Now, every head, please, if you would, still bowed and every eye still closed. Here's the rest of us. Maybe you're tuning in online today, listening to a podcast later. You may be sitting in this very room, and this is the day of salvation for you. The whole time I've been talking about time, the Holy Spirit has been changing your heart. And here's what I want to say, that Jesus, he's just there with open arms. The invitation of a new life is being extended to you right now. So here's all you need to do. All you need to do is just make a decision right there where you're seated. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or stand or walk toward the front or anything like that. I'm just going to ask you to decide. Choose right in this moment to follow Jesus. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer where you can repeat after me, because the Bible says that if we believe in our heart, and that's what the Holy Spirit does, that's between you and him. I cannot do that. Only he can. But then it says if we make a confession with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Now, that's where I can help. I can be a guide for you. And so, church family, you know how we do it. Even if you're at home, I'd love for you to repeat this prayer out loud with me, because some people are making a decision. Today's the day of salvation for them, and they are making a declaration to a new life here today. And here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours." In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's just put our hands together. Hey, congratulations if you made that decision. Congratulations to those of you at home. I'm going to ask you to remain seated just for a couple of minutes. We got one more thing for you. I love you guys.